This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Awville.
Yep.
I don't know what's going on with Jason. A lot of tire. I don't know if he's showing up, if he went back home.
Well, I guarantee you he's sitting in traffic.
I'm going to guess by this time he may have just turned around and bagged it. May say, you know,
nice if he texted.
It's 8 a.m. Not going there just to be there for an hour.
I'm guessing he's taking his time. He's in traffic. He's grabbing breakfast because he probably figures he's halfway in already. That would be my guess. He may just turn around. I mean, I don't care what he does.
I don't know. It's fine.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants. I don't care.
Throughout the number 800-636-1067, as we're talking about, you know, Cakes' trip to
Spain
and how he might cancel it because of the coronavirus.
That would be so canceled if it was
and
made.
We're seeing kind of a lot of discussion in the world of sports about the coronavirus, where there actually have been a couple of games without crowds. And
well, tennis, they're canceling entire events.
Right, they canceled an event on the was it the WTA? I don't even know what the hell they call it anymore.
Yeah,
is that what it is? WTA event?
I don't even sure what.
Yeah, the Indian
tour.
Wells.
Yeah, and
I mean, that's a big tournament. That's a huge tournament.
So they canceled that. I know LeBron.
They also, the BNP Paris Open or whatever it's called, something like that, they canceled that.
LeBron James said that he's not going to play in games if there's no crowd. By the way, LeBron is, I think he may have passed Giannis for MVP favorite because they beat the Bucks on Friday and they beat the Clippers yesterday. I actually watched the Bucks game on Friday night, late night. But we want to kind of hear from you. Is this affecting your life? Where do you think this is going? Drab, where do you think this is going? What does your gut say? I saw you tweet like something. I think you're fed up with the EB.
Let's check in with the Drab DC. See what he thinks.
You're exhausted, right?
Well, I understand that it's important. I just think that some people have a tendency to overreact.
Yeah.
And it's consuming their entire life, which is happening to Eric, and he knows that. But I think, yeah, we're probably going to see more cancellations. We're going to start with the school closures here.
School closures, I expect it to happen middle of this week. Because there'll be the first kid that shows up at some random school.
A private school closed.
The school without walls or whatever it's called.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's going to do anything. Like, what is closing schools for 2 weeks going to do? Well, I mean, if this is going to be around for months and months.
Well, because the kids just spread it. It'll just rip through a school.
I know, but if it's going to be around for months and months, what is closing schools right now for a week going to do?
Should slow it down.
It might. The whole thing is, here's the thing, Drab. Their whole fear is overwhelming the system. They're trying to slow it down so that if it does, and you have to prepare for worst case. You could be nonchalant and just say, it's nothing. But you have to prepare for worst case because the worst case scenario is it multiplies the way people think it could potentially. And then your hospitals, they don't have enough beds and they can't save people that do actually need hospitalization. Now, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I've read a lot about it. 80% mild to no symptoms, but 20%, they say, on average, seem to need hospitalization. If all of the people all got it at one time, there aren't enough beds, there aren't enough respirators, the death rate goes way up. So that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to slow it down by time. That's all they're trying to do.
Yeah, I just don't think that if most people aren't affected or aren't really worried about it and they're going about their daily lives, then hell's going to freeze over before they start canceling March Madness games. There's just too much money to be made. NBA, I just don't see it happening.
Thank you, Yoko.
I don't know that they'll cancel the games. I could see empty arenas. I could totally see that. Totally. Because then people can watch it at home. You can still buy advertising.
And the bulk of the money that they're making is through the TV deals anyway.
Yeah, I don't see them canceling the tournament, but I could see them playing in empty arenas.
You're going to have a massive outbreak. First of all, the tournament's in 2 weeks, so this is really going to have to step up.
I think the next 2 weeks, it could be a drastically different country.
What are your businesses
are you hoping for that? I think you're hoping for that.
Oh, no, I'm hoping.
I think you are.
Are you kidding?
No. Yes.
I would pray that all of a sudden they just said, you know what, we've contained it, it's all done. I pray for that. It's a nightmare. I think it's going to be a drastically different country in 2 weeks just because I think people are going to be a lot of things that are closed. I think gyms are going to close. Schools are going to close. Do you see what all the tech firms are doing? Everyone's working from home.
Do you think people are on butt sized to take advantage of that? Can we work at home? Oh, sure. That's a great idea.
Of course people are butt sized. Yeah, I'm butt sized. I want to Skype in.
Because you're a hypochondriac.
I want to Skype in.
Deep down, Eric enjoys this because he's antisocial and doesn't want to interact with people to begin with.
He wants to be
proven
correct.
So this is his excuse.
I don't want to be proven correct. I've already been proven correct. I've already won the argument. When I told you a week and a half ago I could see this coming, everybody was sleeping.
No, but two weeks ago, I've already been proven correct. If we played the audio, you're in the whole everybody's going to die thing.
That's a little exaggeration.
Everyone's baby's going to die.
That's an exaggeration. Well, now we know that young kids aren't affected. It's the elderly that are the most vulnerable. And all of us have grandparents and aunts and uncles and everything that we don't want, to get sick, right?
All right, let's weave in some of these phone calls. 800-636-1067. Is this affecting your daily life, and where do you think it falls in the world of sports? Are we going to have a March Madness with no fans in the stands?
Well, you'll definitely have the games because there's too much money. But I could see some in certain hot spots. Like if you're in University of Washington, they had their MLS game, right? I think there was talk. Some people recommended
that
they
saw an MLS game over the weekend. It was packed.
Yeah, I think in Washington, they have a huge crowd out there.
I think some of the local
health officials were advising them to not let the fans in, and they did. They went against their wishes.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to, is it JaVel? JaVel, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, Bickle, I thought about you yesterday, man. I was in the grocery store, and, I'm picking through steaks to see what I want, and this lady comes up beside me.
Right.
And the plastic bags that you put your produce and your fruit in, she had them over her hands.
She's smart.
I watched the Wizards game last night, and the stat man, he sits on the first seat on the bench, and he has like these black latex gloves so he doesn't have to touch the players' hands as he's dapping them up when he comes off the bench. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I think it's just an over exaggeration, man. I was at the UVA Louisville game on Saturday. The stadium, the JPJ, was at capacity. Everybody's fist bumping and high fiving and so forth. So I mean, I just think it's overblown, but my lady, she's a nurse, and it's as simple as this, man. People just have to take precaution and wash your hands. You have to wash your hands really for 20 to 30 seconds. You have to let the water get warm. You can't just
be hot water. Has to be hot.
Right.
A lot of bathrooms. It's so tilting. You go to a public bathroom at Famous Dave's Barbecue in Chevrolet or Chantilly. Hot water doesn't come out of the sink. It's cold water.
And when you
go so to the manager.
Go ahead.
When you sneeze, simply just use the bend of your elbow instead of your hands, man. It's really simple, and people just have to take more precaution.
Yeah, yeah.
But is the 100% bend of an elbow good if you're now giving elbow bumps?
But that's with the outside of your elbow. You're sneezing into the interior.
I honestly wonder. So, like, this is freaking me out, and I'm worried for, my family and, your guys' families, people we know. I can't really worry about people I don't know, right?
Can't care about people
Jason's
you don't care
old
about.
Mantra.
Yeah, it's I can't really worry about people I don't know. I do feel sympathy for them, but that's not who I truly worry about. But, like, a guy like Howie Mandel, who's been a germaphobe his whole life. I mean, how is he even functioning right now? He must be taking 100 Xanax a day. How could he get
it's probably like curtailed his appearance schedule?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, has anybody checked in on Howie Mandel? How's he functioning?
I think he's sized. I think he's butt-sized like you, because finally your fears are being rationalized.
No, no, no. Eric, I don't like to live this way.
I was told that you used to take the garbage out with latex gloves as a kid.
Who said that?
I didn't say that. I said that his mom wouldn't let him take out the trash.
My mom wouldn't let
me. Right,
so
you're just surrounded by fear of being infected
I come from a family that is riddled with OCD.
They respect germs.
we germs get so much respect. This Lysol bit, we've been doing this at my house for 40 years. Way before the Greek movie. What was the Greek movie?
My Big Factory Quest.
Way before My Big Factory. We've been Lysoling mail at my house.
That wasn't Lysol in the movie. That was Windex.
Your mom Lysols the mail.
Every day. Every day.
This is who you're listening to, audience. Who's freaking you out.
Hey, listen. People do what they got to do. Just don't come up and shake my hand, and I'm not even fist bumping you anymore.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-636-1067.
Let's go to Steve. By the way, I'll read something to you. Hold on real quick. Steve, hold on. I got this today from a buddy of mine that coaches lacrosse, okay, in Texas. This was sent to every D1, D2, D3 college program in the country that they're now recommending that the handshake that they do after games, that the players keep their helmets and gloves on, and they do their just fist bump with the gloves. It's been sent to every college program in the country.
Let me ask you. So those guys that are playing a competitive sport where they're touching each other and smashing each other all game long are suddenly going to get the coronavirus by shaking hands after the game? That's what's going to save them?
It's a step.
They're taking a precaution.
It's a step in the right direction. Well, do you disagree with it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Cancel the games then if you're that worried about it.
I think that's coming. Because as soon as the first kid at University of Maryland gets it, they're shutting it down.
I think they're sending those emails to feel good about each other.
Okay.
Hey, we're making a difference.
No, I think they're trying to do what they can. I just hung up with Steve. Call back, Steve. Let's go to – I didn't mean to. Let's go to Pete in Vienna. Pete, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Junks?
What's up, Pete?
Yeah, I think it's a real possibility that we would see – sporting events and March Madness games with fans suited up in face masks and like scrubs and all that stuff.
It's gonna be a terrible look. That looks so bad.
Yeah, and I'm bitter. I should have cornered the market on logo scrubs and your Maryland Terrapins face mask.
Right. Yeah, you should have. I'm bitter. I got a buddy of mine that said he dumped his GE stock for Purell stock, or whatever company that makes the Purell hand sanitizer.
Probably smart.
He did that like 2 months
Johnson
ago.
Johnson & Johnson.
Johnson & Johnson. Yeah. Should have done that. Stupid.
Yep.
So dumb, Cakes. We saw this coming.
I know. Didn't prepare.
Thank you, Pete. I haven't gone to the extent where I'm wearing a mask. I have masks, but if I get sick, I'm going to wear it. But I know somebody who wears a mask so people stay away from them.
Oh, really?
It's a great preemptive move. It's a great move. You want social distancing? Wear a mask.
Right. It's probably the best way to do it.
Let's go to Andre in Manassas. Andre, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. So it hasn't really changed my life a whole lot. It hasn't really changed my life a whole lot. I mean, after I just, bought me some airline tickets 2 days ago, non-refundable, just so I can fly out of the country in April. But at the same time, I did realize yesterday I also fist bumped a lady. It was a great price. I fist bumped a lady for the first time, so I guess it's somewhere in the back of my head. I would say this. I think, like most folks, it is hysteria. I think the big problem for a lot of, worldwide is because there's no vaccine, quote-unquote, no vaccine for it, hence why it's a problem. Because, we have a vaccine for influenza. 80,000 people die every year about it, but no one here. 80,000 Americans die every year from influenza, but we don't make a big deal about it.
We've gotten used to it. You're right. And I guess it's because the point that people make is what can you do? Because, 50 million people get influenza every year? They don't even know how to contain it.
I went to my friend's house this weekend, and he was all gloved up and everything wasn't touching anything, but he came and walked in his house with his shoes on. I'm like, player, if you're going to be that concerned about this thing, you can't just walk through your house with your shoes on. How much germs you bring in your house? So I think it's just the unknown and the whole lack of a vaccine is just stripping people out, because at the end of the day, it's not – people have died, yes, and that's a bad thing. But, this hysteria, it's not worth it. I don't think we've gotten there yet.
Yeah. All right. I hope you're right. I hope 100% hope you're right. Are you kidding me? You know what the worst part of this whole thing is? is just seeing the updates every 5 minutes of the new. I almost wish they wouldn't report it. Or to counterbalance it, here's what I would recommend. Since we've all accepted the horrible notion, right, that anywhere from, say, 30 to 80,000 people are going to die every year here in this country from the flu, as they report the corona deaths each day, I would like them to report the flu deaths.
Do a side by side.
Yes. Right? Like, could we balance it out a little bit? I'm asking you to balance it out.
Yeah, I don't think that's a terrible idea.
Somebody pointed out in China last week, I think there were 500 deaths, right? And you're like, oh my God, one day, 500 deaths. 25,000 people die every day in China. Think about that.
Right.
500 of them happen to be from the corona, which is terrible. But 25,000 people die every day. In other words, it needs the context.
Hey, you got to play the math game. That's what we say.
It needs context. The thing that's tilting is the exceptions. That's what's really, you see the 36-year-old woman who, you know, on the brink of death. You see the doctors that are dying, that are in there, they're perfectly healthy. That's what's scary.
I mean, this is taking a hypothetical to an extreme. But this is the way I look at it. Even if 100 million Americans died from this, that's 1 in 300. If I gave you a lottery ticket.
No, that's not. That's 1 in 3.
Now, your math is all bad.
That's 1 in 3. You sound like the donks on MSNBC. You sound like the donks on MSNBC.
I meant to say a million. I meant to say a million.
Yeah.
A million. Yeah. Right. A million's a lot. You'd be like, oh, okay, a million. A million.
Yeah,
that's
going to
be 1 in 300. I gave you a lottery ticket, 1 in 300. You'd be like, I mean, you'd kind of be psyched because it's 1 in 300, but you know you weren't going to win the lottery.
You put it this way. If 1 in 300, you're definitely going to know people that are donking off. 1 in 300. 100%. You're going to know people donking off. You just don't. I mean,
I know more than 300 people. So, right. Sure.
Right. All right. Let's go real quick. Let's go to Steve in Beltsville. Steve, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Jucks.
Thanks for the callback invite, Eric. In church yesterday, you get to the moment where the priest asked you to offer each other peace. Normally, you shake hands and hug. I don't think one person touched another person at that moment.
Well, yeah, they made an announcement. They made an announcement in my church. I wasn't there, but I heard about it. They made an announcement that said, we're not going to do the passing of the peace anymore. We're just going to, you know, say hello to
just
each other.
Just acknowledge the person next to you.
I stayed home the last 2 weeks because I wasn't well, because the pastor had asked if you weren't feeling well to stay home.
Right.
So this was my first time back in a couple weeks.
Right.
But not as many people there for sure. It was apparent.
Well, they're telling people over 60, don't go to church. Don't go to religious services right now. But that, you know, you're sitting, the older people, honestly, and Drab thinks it's a joke. The older people are sitting ducks for this if they get it. I would be terrified if I was like 85.
Well, I would think if you play this out and it continues to spread and more that you are going to see empty arenas. Not mandated, but less people are going
to
go.
Look, if you want to feel good about it, read the article that Drabby likes to point to that people are retweeting from the New York Post. It's not a doctor, though. It's just a lawyer wrote an opinion piece about how he thinks that this will peak pretty quickly. And he has some logic behind it.
You're a talk show host.
What
you're
about
giving
it?
Advice out to people?
I'm not giving advice. I would never give advice.
Are.
I mean, my advice is all. I haven't said anything unusual.
You're a sitting duck.
I think older people are sitting ducks.
It's 500 people. That's not what I consider a sitting duck.
It's because it's just started. You think we're in the middle of it? You think we're in the middle? See, I am of the belief that we're just at the tip of the iceberg. You think that we're in the middle of it. So if you're right, then it's awesome. Then it's going to be fine. If you're right, it's awesome.
I am right.
If I'm right, it's bad.
Dr. Drab.
If it's the tip of the iceberg, it's bad. Because I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. You know why we only have 500 cases? Because they've only tested about 1,500 people. They haven't tested anyone.
I know I got to you about that lacrosse game comment. They're all bumping into each other. Now you're thinking about it.
What do you mean? I don't even know what you're talking about. No, I'm not. You know what I worry about? The volleyball tournament. Where my daughter's going, she's shaking hands and smacking balls for 3 days with 3,000 sick people. I mean, that's just insane. I mean, the volleyball tournament, I assume my wife and daughter already have a million viruses. You can label it whatever you want. All right, that's a given.
You won't start wearing Jimmy Johnson's.
You better
again.
Quarantine them over to a different part of the house.
There might not be any Jimmy Johnson action for a while. That, you want to shut it down?
No skins?
Yeah, I'm sure my wife would be thrilled.
All right, if
I don't even, I'm not even thinking about that.
800-636
Jimmy Johnson.
1067. Remember, Neil Greenberg is going to join us from the Washington Post. We'll talk about the Caps, who had a big win against the Pens on Saturday. Keep it here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, so every morning, Drab and Valdez, they put together these notebooks with some stories from sports and outside of sports. And the one which really jumped out at me this morning was the Joey Chestnut story. So Joey Chestnut, he's a 12-time winner of Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. We all know him. The thing about him is he's not a 400-pound guy.
No, he's pretty skinny, actually.
I don't think he's skinny. I think eventually, you know, eating 71 hot dogs in 10 minutes catches up to you.
How could
I would
not
say he's skinny, but he's normal, average.
Yeah.
He wanted to break the Big Mac world record.
Okay.
And apparently in his regular life, he has a cheat day.
Well, is that where he doesn't eat? Like, is a competitive eater's cheat day where you just don't eat? Because eating's your job.
But using Uber Eats,
yes,
says he racked up an order of 32 Big Macs to beat the previous record of 30 from an Indianapolis area McDonald's. If you look at the McMenu, one sandwich is 540 calories.
And how long did it take him to consume the 32 Big Macs?
But just think about this. He said that they actually limited the order to 15 burgers, I guess, on the McDonald's smartphone app. You can only order 15. You're talking about 18,000 calories.
Hamburger.
He said it's a dream of his since he was a kid.
What a loser. Such a loser.
That's a full-on nightmare. Having to eat 15 Big Macs or 30 Big
32.
Macs?
32. I mean, he's just the biggest loser in the country.
32 Big
All
Macs.
Those competitive eaters.
Think about how full you would be if you ate two Big Macs.
I mean, if you're a competitive eater, man, you should have studied harder in school. I mean,
don't but you? I'm guessing for Joey Chestnut and
so
a select
did.
Few, it's probably pretty lucrative.
He did 32 Big Macs in 38 minutes and 15 seconds.
That is.
Don't these
amazing.
Guys every once in a while choke out and die?
At the end of it, he said,
so, yeah.
I did it. It was a dream come true.
Hamburger.
30.
Meanwhile, 10 years ago, Junk's producer Brett Oliverio bought, I don't know, 10 orders of large McDonald's fries and dumped them into a cardboard box and thought he'd be able to eat them in like 10 or 15 minutes. I think he ate 15 fries.
He ate like small fries.
He's like, I don't think I can do this.
Well, even Chestnut said that.
Barely made a dent.
After he ate like five Big Macs, and he ended up doing 32, he started getting the sweats. He said that's normal in the world of competitive eating.
Mm. He's a loser. I don't know what to tell you. I have no interest
he's
in it.
He's a winner, EB. He's a winner.
Why are you laughing at me, Drev?
Because why is he a loser?
Well, he's a competitive eater.
That's he's the best in the world.
He's the dumbest thing ever.
He is at the top of the food chain, so to speak.
Yeah, no. He's probably butt rich.
It doesn't matter. He's a loser.
I got to look up his net worth now.
I have more respect for a drug dealer.
How much do you win?
I mean, I'm running a real business.
On the tour.
What?
They have a tour, right?
Yeah. But they're losers.
I'm going to guess his net worth.
I'm guessing you win like a $5,000 check.
Yeah, they don't win that much. He probably makes $100,000 a year.
It's got to be under $2 million, his net worth, right?
It better be.
I'm going to look it up.
Better be. I've done way more. I've accomplished way more in my career. All you guys have all, except for Dravy and Valdez.
He's worth $1.5 million as of last year.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's not bad.
For somebody that just eats hot dogs and Big Macs.
He's a loser. You know.
How many Big Macs, empty stomach, all right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's just imagine
I can't think of anything dumber.
Imagine yesterday you didn't have lunch, didn't have dinner. You were famished. And I brought with 32 Big Macs.
How many could I finish?
Yeah.
Two. At the most. And I feel like dying after eating two.
Yeah. I mean, if you eat two Big
Macs. If I ate three, I might pass out and die.
I want to know Eric's list of loser professions.
That's at the top.
Competitive eating's at the top?
What? Give me some and I'll tell you if it's a winner or a loser profession.
Professional dart thrower.
That's a winner. That's a skill.
That's a skill.
That guy's a winner.
That's a winner. That's like an athlete.
What about like a rodeo clown?
I mean, those guys are crazy. I would say that they probably are losers. They probably didn't do well in school. They probably are losers.
What about like a magician?
I mean, they're weirdos. They're weirdos, but it's a skill.
Yeah, but if you get to the top of the game, you make a
magician's
boatload
way
of cash.
Greater than a competitive eater.
Winner, life winners.
What?
It's an entertainer.
Competitive eating.
It's just gluttony.
It's a weird training.
Yeah. It's like being a professional pooper or something. You know what I mean? Like whoever can poop the most. Why don't they do that?
I think some of them work here at Entercom.
Yeah. Why don't they do that?
After five.
Why don't they get a bucket and then we'll have a contest?
The dude ate 7 Big Macs in 5.5 minutes. That was like his pace.
It's gross. But it is a feat. There's no doubt about it.
What about a Toys R Us manager?
Mr. Manager.
Yes, I was manager
management material. I mean,
did you enter as a manager or did you rise up?
Come on, enter, JP. I was college educated.
But I'm definitely into the professional pooping league, though.
Yeah, right?
I'm kind of into that.
Oh.
Why don't they do that? Competitive eating, it's the same thing.
Who has the best wraparound?
It takes the same amount of talent.
They judge it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, I disagree. I think you have to. Competitive eating is on a different.
Well, you got to eat a lot to poop a lot.
Competitive pooping.
Forget it, and you got to take your probiotics. I mean, there's a whole thing you got to do.
Hey, what about a nanny?
I mean, nannies are like kids. It's not a big, you know, they haven't figured out life yet.
Your new bit is to tell people they should have studied harder. I've been hearing that from you.
I tell my kids that all the time. I tell my son.
It's EB's default whenever I talk about tip the maid. He's like, get a better job.
Oh yeah. Honestly, they could get better jobs.
Hey, what if Stevie
this
came
like
up
the lowest
to you?
Hanging fruit.
Stevie he wants said, to be a garbage man.
He's told me that before, just to tilt me.
What if he, all my teammates at the dining hall are really impressed with how much I can eat. I want to get into competitive eating.
Right. He came home and ate 200 chicken wings in one sitting.
He's not going to do that.
My whole thing is, hey, listen, Chipotle prowess.
What?
Used to tout your son's Chipotle.
He can eat. He probably could be a competitive eater if he wanted to. He can eat. But no, my whole thing is, look, this is your window of opportunity. Don't close your doors. You know, when you're done with school, you want to, you know.
Thompson Creek window of opportunity.
Yeah,
right.
This is your Thompson Creek window of opportunity.
Got to brand it.
You know, I know, you know, just don't go there and get some terrible GPA and then be able to do nothing.
I thought you've always said just find what you're good at.
You do. You got it. Well, too.
Joey Chestnut's good at sucking down hot dogs.
Right. That's his skill.
Listen, I just have no regard for him.
So what about those, I went on Saturday to see the Watch Justice. So the competitive video gamers, losers?
That's a skill. I give him.
But it's kind of the same as the competitive eaters. They're just video gamers.
If you can make a good living out of it, more power to you.
There's zero talent in eating.
What about a professional wrestler?
Yeah, but to do it, they're doing it
at
the highest level.
What about if I was a professional booger picker? I could pick the biggest boogers in the country. I have the same regard.
Yeah, but there's no market for that.
Everyone picks their nose.
There's a market for competitive eaters.
And I happen to generate massive, cloggy, mucousy boogers.
Yeah, but there's something about eating. Like, we go back 20 years. We did a chicken wing eating contest on the show.
I could pull a Fig Newton out of my nose.
Again, there's no market for that. There is a market for competitive eaters.
Besides, we'll have a Junkie's Biggest Booger contest.
Now, I'm grossed out by it.
We'll have to wait until Corona passes, and then we'll sit our fingers
I can't watch Joey Chestnut eat 70 hot dogs. It grosses me out. Yeah. But there is a market for it. It's on ESPN.
Yeah, I know. I mean, so is Bags. They have the Bags there. You know what? Those guys are losers, too.
What about
professional?
What about rollerblading?
Well,
how's
I don't know.
The
Bags guys are losers.
How's Bags any different than darts? You said darts wasn't
darts,
a
I just
loser.
Feel like it's a more precise skill than Bags. Literally any drunk can play
but
Bags.
Yeah, but they can't play it well.
Huh?
They can't play it well.
I don't think it takes any talent to be good at Bags.
And at one point, you said you were into curling.
I said it. No, I mean, I said I'd like to try it. I heard it's a ton of fun. I heard it's fun.
All I'm saying is if you say darts is okay, Bags is really the same thing. And bowling isn't that much different.
Okay, I would say a professional dart thrower, way his skill level and his expertise is way higher than a professional Bags player. Professional Bags player is just the local drunk at the barbecue. That's all that is.
It's the same athletic endeavor, really.
No, no.
This
darts.
And
no, no.
That.
Oh, no, no, no. Way more of a precise skill. Way harder to throw darts than Bags. Way harder to be a proficient dart thrower.
More respect for Joey Chestnut or Cowboy Todd, the silly
disc golf
player.
Yeah.
He's like traveling to Tennessee.
I would have more respect for an elite disc golfer. Yes. I don't know where Cowboys Todd talent lies.
Said number two in Virginia.
What?
That's what his wife tweeted out last week.
What? She's hyping him up.
Show me a ranking where Todd is
she
number two
in
Virginia.
She had it on her Twitter.
Yes. She had a ranking.
I saw it, yes.
How many people are in it?
Yeah, what, six people in it? It was like Adam.
A lot of people play disc golf.
So I'd say I have more respect for a professional disc golfer than a professional eater. Professional eater,
I don't think there are professional disc golf.
Is disc golf frisbee golf?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about like a professional fisherman that you see?
Oh, much
are
respect.
Are you kidding? Those guys are geniuses.
Big time respect.
I have a ton of respect
geniuses.
For
those guys. Like great those fishermen? Guys know where the fish
great
are.
Great fishermen? Are you kidding? They're sick.
That's definitely a skill.
Those guys
100%.
Are beasts. Oh yeah, way more respect for a professional.
You think
fisherman.
JP Scoffy had it? JP could go out on a bass ball.
No, he would catch. You wouldn't catch a boot.
Lake stocked with bass. He would drop his line and wouldn't catch one fish.
It's a skill, but I don't put that above the dart thrower.
Dart throwing is just I play a lot of darts in college.
I put that in the same category.
That's a hard game.
I put it in the same category. Fishing, darts, Bags.
No,
I
Bags.
Put bowling in there
any person, any human, if you have limbs, you can be good at Bags.
not true.
You just need to have arms.
Billiards, same thing, same category.
Billiards? Are you kidding? Those guys are way above bag throwers. Pool players? Are you kidding?
What about like the person that
Minnesota
works at...
Fat takes a dump on Joey Chestnut?
Willie Moscone? That's an old reference.
I don't even
Joey
know the Cousins. What is there like the Black Widow or what the Asian
Jeanette
Widow?
Lee?
Yeah,
she's silly.
Yeah,
I think equivalent to Joey Chestnut.
Are you? You're insane. their
no.
skill is
and poker players the same. It's all the same. No, they're all like skills, and they're not really sports.
Eric,
yeah,
I have an update for you. You know how you said Joey Chestnut should have studied harder?
Yeah.
He was a civil engineer before this.
Well, he just really
better
wasted.
Money and
well, I mean, I don't know what he's doing.
He's making millions of dollars eating hot dogs.
It's like you call poker a game of skill. You're on the right side of history, JP.
He's got 1.5 milli.
For right now.
Okay.
Give him a few years.
Yeah, but
he probably made more being a civil engineer.
He's not a loser because he's able to live out his lifelong dream.
That's a dream.
He said since he was a kid he wanted to he fell in love with the
here's your favorite accomplishment of Joey Chestnut.
Two Big Macs for $4.
121 Twinkies in 6 minutes. You'd be sized. You love Twinkies.
I'd
121 in 6 minutes.
No, I'd like to eat them just over time.
Right. Yeah. You like to savor them.
Yeah.
I mean, what people? Hold on. Quick poll. The next break. Quick poll. Do you have respect for competitive eaters? Yes or no? That's it.
We'll have to do that at 9 o'clock. Who's the guest? We got Neil Greenberg joining us next.
He's a man of science and numbers.
Yeah. Do you have respect for competitive eaters?
I guarantee you, he respects them.
I wouldn't guarantee.
He crushes that. Crunches the numbers.
I don't totally respect it, but I equate it to bags and darts. It's
definitely
and
a skill.
And poker.
Hold on.
It's a skill. You think that a competitive eater is more skilled than a great billiards player? Like the number.
It's a totally different thing, but sure, they have a skill.
Oh my God!
Each have a skill.
Oh no!
Definitely have a skill. Competitive eaters have a skill.
All they're doing is just dunking it in water and just eating.
And all the guy playing billiards is hitting a ball with a stick. I mean, there's not much to it.
Are you kidding? You're a terrible pool player. You don't even understand.
Oh, I'm no more terrible than you. Please.
I know how to set up my shots
Junkies
better than you.
Pool challenge. I can see it. It's coming.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, Neil Greenberg is going to join us from the Washington Post to talk about the Caps, who are coming off a big win against the Pens after two losses on Wednesday and Thursday. We'll get into that next here on the Junkies.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Look who's in the studio now.
Yeah, worst morning
Jason
ever.
Jason William Bishop.
Just the nightmare of a morning.
Well, I want you to give us the whole scoop.
I will.
We can't do it now because we've got Neil on.
Yep. I'd rather talk to Neil than talk about my morning.
Of course you would.
Neil Greenberg does join us, sports writer, stats geek for the Washington Post. He joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. What's up, Neil?
Hey, how's it going?
So we've spent a lot of time the last couple weeks wondering what's going on with the Caps. You know, before Saturday's game, they had lost on Wednesday night, and then they lost on Thursday against the Rangers. I think there was a streak of 10 games, giving up three goals or more. And then on Saturday against the Pens, they played great.
Yeah, that was kind of a what I think it may be a job-saving win for Coach Reardon.
Really?
I think the seat was getting pretty hot. And
saying job saving for this year?
Well, definitely for next year. Yeah. I think also for this year too. I don't think you can look at this team and how poorly they were playing with the talent that they have and objectively say he's the right guy for the job. I mean, if they lose to Pittsburgh, you know, that would have been a pretty significant loss, I think, especially in terms of playoff implications and just overall, you know, where are we now? You know, giving up three goals per game for a stretch doesn't bother me because the average team in the NHL scores three goals per game. So I'm not really worried about that part. I'm worried about how discombobulated the defense looks, how poor the power play looks, and also what Coach Reardon was saying after games, which was pretty much summed up to, you know, I'm out of ideas, right? I mean, I can't get these players to do what they're supposed to do. They got to find it from within. And you know, whenever you hear something like that from a coach, I don't think it bodes well for the future. Now, they did beat Pittsburgh, and they had a great first period doing it. They have three soft games coming up: Buffalo, Detroit, Chicago. So, look, winning cures all. And if they put together four wins in a row, which they should over these next three games, I think people will feel a lot better. But you know, this hasn't been the way the season started, and the way it is now are just seem like two different entities.
Is this the second time a win over Pittsburgh this year has potentially saved his job? Because isn't that the other big win he had when people thought like that seat was hot?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Reardon's seat has been hot pretty much the time he's been hired, right? I mean, he's coming off the Stanley Cup victory as part of the coaching staff, and you know, it just seemed like any time the team got in a little bit of a downturn, people were calling for Reardon's job. I wasn't one of them. I just think that, you know, based on what we've seen, I mean, the defense has played historically bad, probably as bad, if not worse, than during the Bruce Boudreau era when they didn't really care about defense all that much. You know, and here you have a team that, you know, looks like it cares about defense, made a lot of inroads on the defensive side, and just couldn't seem to get it done. So I do think that, you know, Pittsburgh, because it's such a big rival, probably magnifies a lot of people's feelings. But for me, it was this last game that, you know, based on where the team had come from and where it was going, had he lost in Pittsburgh, I think there would have been a lot of talk over, you know, he's in some trouble.
I can't remember who we had on the show last week, but we were talking about the power play, and I went, maybe it was Chris Russell, and I was looking at the power play rankings for this team. Last year, they were 12th. The year before that, they were 7th. The year before that, they were 3rd. Okay. This year, they're like 17th, 18th, something like that. Explain, there are too many good offensive players on this team to be struggling on the power play. Explain why it's happening.
Okay, so the power play that Washington runs is a 1-3-1. So you have the one guy down low, you have three guys spread across, mm-hmm. And then you have one guy,
like
obviously
point.
Carlson, up top.
Yeah.
So it all the way that it works is you need shooters on both sides. You can't just have Ovechkin be the guy that shoots. Now, obviously, everyone knows that the pass is trying to get funneled to Ovechkin because he destroys people from that left hand side. But if you don't have shooters, or at least threats of shooters on the other side, it's very easy to just key in on Ovechkin and or take that away and or just stifle their ability to bring the puck in the zone. So I think that, you know, over the years, it's become I don't want to say stagnant, but you know, it's never been a secret as to what they're trying to do, and that's fine. When they were able to get the puck to where they needed to go, but you look at this year. I mean, there just aren't other shooters on the power play in addition to Ovechkin. And
they're the same guys they've had the last 4 or 5 years.
Right. It's not the question of who they have. It's a question of what they're doing. Right.
Okay.
You look at Ovechkin has 91 shots on the power play. The next guy with the most is TJ Oshie at 48. And then you have a couple guys at 30.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, when you know a guy is twice as likely to shoot as anyone else on the team, then you take away that pass. And then what ends up happening? Sometimes they try to force the pass to him. Sometimes they run into trouble. And, you know, with John Carlson as really the only line of defense at the point, right, they only have one guy at the point, as you see, maybe you see some power plays have two, you know, you only have one guy to beat. So if that pass doesn't get to Ovechkin, it's very easy to get numbers the other way. And we've seen them give up some shorthanded goals that, you know, are devastating in some games. So I just think that this is this is just a season where maybe they're deferring too much to Ovechkin. Maybe other players just aren't shooting the puck as much as they should. Their ability to set up in the zone has not been great. So I just think it's death by a thousand cuts. And, you know, the power play is not really as formidable as it was in years past.
All right, Neil, let's get to the important questions. Is competitive eating for losers?
I'm going to say no, and here's why. Because I usually work July 4th, and I cover the hot dog eating contest at Coney Island. So I would say everyone should be very, very interested in the outcome, if for no other reason than to support your boy over here.
That's right. It keeps you in business.
Who do you cover it for, the Post?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I write about
there's nothing else to talk about July 4th.
Eating contest every year. Usually I work, it's not one of the holidays I work. So, yeah, I mean, if there's no NBA news.
Well, then, you'll admit that's the worst event you cover all year, though, right?
It's an interesting one.
It's the most eclectic.
I like converting the calories, the number of hot dogs eaten to calories, and really just feel better about myself when I only eat like 1,000 calories in a sitting as opposed to like 15 million.
Right. I can't even find. I mean, you should just die if you have that many hot dogs.
I would die. Yeah. I would die. There's no way I would be able to get up.
Don't you have 10 or 15?
15. And I felt like death for 3 straight days. I would never do it again. No, let me correct that. I would do it if I were paid more handsomely.
You would. You would feel like death for 3 days?
You would have to pay
like if we
more.
Gave you 100K, you would do that?
Oh, yeah. Heartbeat, yeah.
Of course, you wouldn't do it for 100K?
Yeah, to be miserable?
100%.
I guess I just don't value money that much. I don't like to be miserable.
Because after a while, I won't feel miserable, and I'll have 100K in my bank account.
I guess you don't value that much, but you're a butt size for something.
That would all go to medical bills because you'd be so sick. Yes. Like, you would have no choice but to get, like, some type of operation to get everything working again.
I'll take the coronavirus for 100K.
Right.
You kidding me?
Absolutely.
Give it to me.
Yeah, not me. I don't need it.
All right, so Buffalo tonight, need that win, and then you said a couple more softies. Although Detroit beat Tampa last night. I don't even know how. No, I do know
how.
Yeah,
that happens. I mean, hockey's spooky, but I don't think the Capitals are in danger of missing the playoffs.
No.
I don't think that you know, they're going to fall into a wild card spot.
Will they win the division?
Yeah, I think they have a good chance of winning the division. I was worried about Pittsburgh for a while. I think now, obviously, Philadelphia Flyers are the biggest threat. But, you know, I think that the biggest thing for me right now is who's their first-round matchup in the playoffs, because matchups dictate everything. And, you know, you got to give some credit to Reardon. I believe that he was the one that changed some of the tactics they had during the Stanley Cup run, and they were able to shut down almost every top line they faced, with the exception of Pittsburgh. And that really did allow them to advance and ultimately win the Cup. So his ability as a tactician is certainly there. So there's reason for optimism. You know, but you always worry about a team like Washington that comes out of the gate so fast, so early. You know, you worry about peaking too soon. You know there's going to be rough patches. Obviously, you'd much rather have them early in the season than limping into the playoffs. But, you know, I think that they'll be fine there getting into the playoffs, and then I would just be curious who their matchup is.
All right, that's Neil Greenberg, sports writer, stats geek for the Washington Post. Thanks a lot, Neil. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Neil.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Yeah, man.
Coming up at 9:40, we'll get back into the Terps' big win yesterday over Michigan, which clinched a share of the Big Ten title. Jeff Ehrman, who covers Maryland for InsideMDSports.com, he'll join us at 9:40. But next, we'll hear about Jason's odyssey into work this morning. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.